Hey everybody, I'm Theo Fleury, and you're listening to the Blues Hockey Podcast.
Podcast, your host Jason, along with Chris.
Yo.
All right, and we're back with our big trade deadline central show, whatever you want to call it. Chris, you can cue the music, please.
Sure. Great show.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. All right, and so talk a little about the Blues struggle a little bit over the last few games. The shootout loss against Pittsburgh. And then just a loss completely, not a great showing against the not-so-great Columbus Blue Jackets on Saturday. So the last two games before the deadline, we'll talk about those. Hope everyone got to check out our last show. We had Dan the Dad on from Glory Pro Wrestling. I had a lot of fun doing that. So
that was fun, dude. That was a good show.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. So they got their big show today. So we got your tickets to the big show in April. So main thing is Blues stuff. So let's do the games first, and then when the trade deadline and who the Blues may acquire, if there's any guys left by then.
Yeah,
the guys are literally, as we're getting ready to record, trades are happening.
It's a fire sale.
Yeah, so who knows what's going to happen at this point. So we'll get into all that. So first off, the first two games. So the Blues play the Pittsburgh Penguins. And honestly, just like watching this game, they're really fortunate to have at least a point out of this game.
I would agree. I was at this game. The stat that stuck out the most to me was at the end of regulation, I looked up at the board, and it said that the Blues had outshot the Penguins 40-something to 20-something. Mm-hmm. And I legitimately thought that had to be an error, because I don't remember 40 shots from the Blues. Certainly.
Oh, other way around. Other way around.
Was it?
Pittsburgh, yeah, I'm looking at it. Pusa made 43 saves, and Tristan Jarry made 23 right. saves.
Then it was flipped on the Jumbotron, because when I looked up and saw that, I was like, there's no way that the Blues had 40 shots. There were just large periods of this game where Blues couldn't clear the zone, and there was no sustained offense. The girl that I took to the game jokingly made the comment in the third period, I don't know much about hockey, but I know that we shouldn't be spending this much time by our goalie. And that's the truth.
And that's that was pretty much the epitome of how that game went. It was 2-0, you know, Pittsburgh. You know, early on, the Blues had a really good chance to blow this game open with a 2-man advantage less than barely 30 seconds into the game.
Yes.
And they had a chance to, you know, blow this thing wide open and just 5-on-3s, like, not just this version of this team, years of, like, they've never been able to figure it out. I remember they scored one, I can't remember if it was early this year or late last year, when they scored one, and it was like the first 5-on-3 the Blues scored in like almost 5 years or something. It was some ridiculous stat, and it just shows, like, the power play is ranked high. It's still third in the league, and it just when it's like, when they got that many guys, they just, they're very passive.
Yeah, they are. I've noticed, and you've made the comment as well, the last couple of weeks or so, that it seems like this team has gotten back into the habit of overpassing and trying to set up for the perfect highlight goal instead of just putting pucks on net and picking up some dirty garbage. And that definitely was a problem in this game. There was so much passing. Also, the return of the 2008 version of David Perron for 40 minutes of the game, where he was getting either offensive zone penalties or just wanted to try to stick handle through the entire defense. And then, I mean, he ended up getting a goal, which helped. But that game, now keep in mind, you were talking about blowing it open early. Remember when the Blues played in Pittsburgh earlier this year, they were beating the holy bejesus out of Pittsburgh. And then Pittsburgh came back and won that game in regulation.
Yes.
These two teams are very evenly matched. And that's the one thing that I think, looking back on both games against Pittsburgh this year, is the Blues are 0-1-1, but could very easily be 2-0. So if you have to find the silver lining, it's that I think this team stacks up very well against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, it's been a it was an interesting and the thing is, Husso was very good.
Yeah, he was.
But the second goal was not that great. It's funny how like he played really well, and then the goal scored that Matheson scored was kind of a shot from just an odd angle coming down the boards and just beat him over a glove. So yeah, 2-0 or you know, about halfway through the game, and then the look of the Blues kind of slowly chip away here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they you know, after that happened, Matheson scored, and I don't know what happened there, but I'm guessing maybe Rube. The thing is, like, it seems like that's what happens. This team like comes out flat and has to like figure things out like sometime in the second and third period and hopefully come back and win. And that's happening way too often. And that's, and then you can't do that in the playoffs. Like you have to be ready from the get go. Like I said, Perron not too. Playing great, but then, you know, he made a couple of errors during the game, but then the goalie score was
great.
Great. Deke got around the defenseman and made a defenseman look dumb and scored a beautiful goal, his 18th of the year. And then early in the third, Barbashev gets a goal from Assad. And 2-2, and it's great. And overtime was actually exciting.
Yeah.
For once. It wasn't the bring it hit back into the neutral zone.
Who's hit the post in overtime? Buchnevich, I think, hit the post?
Yeah, Buchnevich or Krug, one of the two. I can't remember who it was. Krug might have been another game. But anyway, yeah, it was – actually four shots apiece for overtime. It was back and forth overtime. It was actually really fun to watch compared to the normal, like, all right, bring it to the zone, wait, oh nope, can't get it in, reset, come back out, redo it. And it was great back and forth, so it was a nice fun overtime for once. And they actually made the shootout, and it made it to almost a, you know, fourth round of the shootout here. And then Blues couldn't get a goal. The one that sucked was O'Reilly had Jari beat, because Jari was falling down because he lost his balance, and O'Reilly just shot it about a foot high.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Brian Rust, who was he in his career 100% shootout percentage, and he scores again, make him 4-for-4. And the Blues lose it over, and but they get the point. Okay. Like, considering how that game went, your goalie stole you a point. We'll take it and move forward.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, so then you move forward, and you play Columbus Blue Jackets, a team that – once again, not doing well. Another year not making the playoffs. Still kind of minorly rebuilding after this. Our favorite player's name, Seth Jones.
Trade Seth Jones.
In the offseason. So, you know, they lost their captain, Boone Jenner, at last game. He plays against the Blues, actually, to injury. So, but they still have Patrick Laine, who is a Blues killer at this point.
Yes, really, he is.
He is so good against the Blues. Early on, I didn't see the first goal by Bemstrom, but then I saw
none of this game.
Yeah. So Perron, once again, scores eight of his out of the last nine games. He has he scored eight of them, scores a lot during this game. Let's put it that way. He has finally hit the 20 goal mark after this game. So Blues had 320 goal scores, which is, you know, great to see.
Crazy. Yeah.
Perron was one of those where we thought he might get to it because he's kind of struggling. But since this little streak, it seems like we have all players that do this, by the way. If you look at it, there's guys like Tarasenko who, like, when he's on, like, he'll have like five, six games in a row where he will score automatically. Same with Jordan Kyrou. Same with Buchnevich. You know, like, it seems like they have these, like, big condensed things, but when none of them are scoring, that's when the Blues seem to struggle.
Agreed.
But Perron gets them back on the board, and before the end of the period, Nyquist gets another power play goal. Laine, you know, makes it 3-1 early in the second, but the Blues finally start playing well and get some sustained pressure. Once again, same formula as the Pittsburgh game, not really figuring things out, not looking great against, you know, a team that's, you know, you beat pretty easily last time. It was 6-3, but the two goals were late on there. So it was like 6-1 with like 5 minutes left when they played in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they beat this team pretty handily last time and they were struggling quite a bit. One guy that's been, a surprise, but, you know, as well as he's playing is Alexei Torpachenko.
Yeah, I think he's been doing well, and he was rewarded today.
Yeah, this game. Yeah, he got his first NHL goal after Falk took a shot, and he was positioned right in front like he should be. Big guy, and got home the rebound from Falk and Perron. So make it 3-2, giving the Blues a little hope going into the third period. So unfortunately, Sean Corrali, we know that name from when he played in Boston in 2019. It's his 11th, 4-2. Perron makes it interesting with the power play goal. But, of course, me and you were getting ready to go to dinner at this time. We're just kind of looking at our phones. Then Voracek scores about halfway through the third period. Perron gets the hat trick late in the third, about the minute and a half left. They get 5-4, and that's how it ends. 5-4, the Blues lose in regulation. Huso was okay during this game, but I think over the last handful of games, he's starting to come back down to earth to agree. Like, I'd be wrong. The Pittsburgh game was very good.
Yes.
But it seems like this team desperately needs some kind of shakeup on the defense.
You
can't rely. I think part of the thing is the forwards keep coming back, which is part of their little formula to win is the forward back check quite a bit. But it seems like if they don't back check, like air's wide open guys, and it's ridiculous. Kyrou and Mikola was one during this first goal. I saw the replay, and they just both just let this guy walk right in. And that can't happen. I know, Kyrou is still working his way to be, he's better defensively than he's been in the past, but Mikola's looked better on the third pairing.
I think
he might get, there to be like a second pairing guy eventually, but I think he's still working his way there. So the Blues needed something here because obviously this is the last game before the trade deadline. We're recording about less than 24 hours before trade deadline, about 3 o'clock on Sunday, the 20th.
Yeah. 22 hours before the deadline?
Yeah, 22, 23. I believe it's 2 o'clock Central Time. On Monday. So we did this kind of discuss this right before we jumped on here was trades happening as we were getting ready to record. So the big one, which we'll just bring up and see if I can find the return because the return is still not online.
I just looked and I didn't see it on The Athletic.
Yeah. So nothing is officially out there yet is Mark Giordano is
off going the board.
Off the board, going to the Toronto Maple Leafs for multiple draft picks. The last tweet I saw from Dreger and Friedman was the whole cap hit is going to Toronto. So I don't know what they're doing there, but I know they've just put their goalie on waivers. Peter Mrazek is on waivers. Yeah, so he's on waivers, and they just signed the gold medal winning from Finland goalie. Is from the Olympics, data signed, and he's on waivers too. So interesting goalie shakeup and defensive shakeup for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but bringing it back to the Blues, guys are coming off the board really quick, and a lot of rumors are out there. We'll just go through some of the trades of guys that, potentially could have went to the Blues. This was on the board as a possibility, but since him being a right-handed defenseman, not really happening. Josh Manson goes to the Colorado Avalanche from the Anaheim Ducks. So defenseman Drew Helison and a 2023 second round pick. And I think there's money retained on that too, but nothing that's going to help the Blues there, but that's a guy that's, I think a better version of Robert Bortuzzo, a little bit younger, basically defenseman who can, get guys out of the crease and whatnot. Colorado Minnesota made a trade, which I thought was interesting. Tyson Jost goes to Minnesota and Nico Sturm goes to Colorado. Colorado, I thought, was the preview to them getting Claude Giroux because they were clearing out cap room here.
Right.
That's what almost everybody thought. Then another team clear out cap room. That would be the Florida Panthers. Frank Vetrano goes to the Rangers for a fourth round pick. And then the one that, I don't know if I really talked about too much on the show that much, but I think between us and some other friends, it was Ben Sherratt. It was the guy that the Blues were apparently heavy in on. And I was very wary about that, considering if you gave up the cost to get him, and the cost was quite a bit. So Tyler Simonek, 2023 first round pick and a fourth round pick from the Panthers to the Canadiens for Ben Sherratt. That's a lot to me, considering. I like the numbers and the analytics and stuff, and he is not great on a not great team this year, but he's also facing really high caliber assignments and stuff. So maybe that's part of it. So if he gets downgraded to like a second pairing guy and a penalty kill guy, maybe that's when he clears the net, but he takes a lot of penalties. So I don't know. Your thoughts on Chiarot going to Florida?
I think that you're right. I think that was the guy that made the most economic sense for the Blues. It was the easiest for him to get, for the team to get under the cap and get. It sure seems like the Florida Panthers are going all in.
Mm-hmm. And as we'll talk about in a little bit here.
You know, I'm sure that some of that has to deal with the fact that they've run into a buzzsaw in their own state the last couple of years. I think that, you know, it's a lot to give up. But if you're the Florida Panthers, you know, you've kind of been that, I don't want to say under the radar, because certainly not under the radar, but if you're not a casual hockey fan, you may not have paid attention to them. Well, as you've kind of been a media darling for a few years, as far as a sexy pick to win the cup. And then all of a sudden your in-state team rips off back-to-back cups. So I think that there's a smart move for them. There's more moves to come that we're going to talk about. And it's pretty obvious the Florida Panthers are playing for this season, not 5 years from now.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, which is insane, kind of what their draft history looks like. So Calgary is another team that's been kind of like rumored to be, you know, they're kind of like get boosted up their ranks. So they get Callie Yarncroke from Seattle for a second, a third, and a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot. Another team, which we talked, like you said, Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay is one of those guys that over the last couple of years, they've always had this trade, like a glue guy, a guy that's like going to be energy guy, fast, can maybe pot some goals for you, go and hit, go around, hit some guys, you know, kind of one of those guys you can put on any line and was, you know, a go guy. And Blake Coleman was one of those guys, and Barclay Goodrow. Those two guys did that and got a ring out of it in Tampa Bay and then got paid in the offseason.
Yep.
So the one guy that everybody kind of talked about was in Chicago was this Brandon Hagel. So it was rumored that this, he was possibly out there, but Chicago wanted to hold on to him unless they got a, you know, the Sox knocked off basically. And they did. So Hagel signed for a couple more years at 1.5. So like really great deal here. So Lightning get Hagel, a fourth, two fourth round picks in 2022 and 2024. So one each. So, but then they get a couple of fourth liner guys. This is Blackhawks. They get two fourth liners and Taylor Radish and Boris Kachuk. I'm not sure what the heck. But the main thing is two first round picks, one in 2023 and one in 2024, which is insane.
That's a lot. That is a lot to give up for that dude.
I guess, man.
This is where the market's at this year. This is why don't be surprised if the Blues don't do anything Monday.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about it after we go through all these trades, because I think that's part of the problem is the inner Blues lounge guy in me just like, I want you guys to make a trade, do something. But
sure, but
– but at this rate
– the market right now is stupid.
And the one we'll get to talk about next is – Anaheim Ducks are pretty much liquidating everybody. Nicholas Deslauriers goes to Minnesota for a third round pick. And then the big one, he is one of the three guys that I have the Blues pegged to, like, they should get. Well, four guys if you include Schickeren, I guess. So Hampus Lindholm gets to the Bruins along with another guy. But the Ducks get a first round pick, a second round pick in 2023, a second round pick in 2024, along with a very good prospect. And yep, I'm going to mess this name up royally. Yurho Vakanainen.
God bless you.
Thank you. And John Moore. I can get that right. So John Moore is the easy one.
So
John Moore, but the contract for him is, you know, pretty, you know, they had a pretty substantial contract. So there was the second round pick to take that contract off the book. So it would have been basically a first and a second along with a top prospect. So you're talking Blues equivalent, first round pick this year, second round pick next year, and Scott Perunovich for Hampus Lindholm. That's for a rental. We're talking at the time, mind you, he is now signed by Boston. Boston signed him the next day for 8 years at 6.5 mil per year. So if you think about it, the Blues did that. You have your top four set, I guess, to a degree, but each one is making the exact same. It's 6.5. So you're talking.
It's a lot of money.
The quick math by me here is $26 million. So nearly 20, was that about? Give me 1 second here. About 27.6, no, 7. 26.6% of your cap off the top of my head, if I do my math right. If you're going off $81.5 million cap, tied up in four defensemen. So then you're hoping your third, you know, if your second, your third pairing is now not high up guys, but then you got the rest of your forwards to worry about, you know, especially if you're going to go big game hunting next off season with Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah. I think that's the other side of this is the Blues have to hold on to some assets because it's going to take a lot to pull Tkachuk out.
Yeah. If you decide to trade for him or if you wait till if he hits free agency in a couple of years. So that's the other thing too. So the other rumor was three teams were in on Claude Giroux were mentioned quite a bit. And it was always Colorado, Minnesota, and St. Louis.
Yeah.
And then recently Minnesota kind of faded away and the Blues were kind of there in the like off distance as like, yeah, they're a possibility. And then also in Florida came up as like the main possibility and Colorado was there. Different rumors came about this. And after going through a bunch, the main thing that came out was Claude Giroux basically said, I'm only going to the Florida Panthers and basically tied Philadelphia's hands at this point of what they could get. And you see what he gets, that type of player gets compared to Hampus Lindholm. You're like, wow, that's not that much. But so Claude Giroux waives his no movement clause to go to Florida, along with a couple minor league guys, along with a 2025 fifth round pick. So we're going that far out now. We're going like almost 3 or 4 years drafts from now. They get highly touted Owen Tippett, who was a first round pick from Florida, but he's had not a great season. He got sent back down. First round pick in 2024 and a third round pick in 2023. So Florida has essentially dealt all their first round picks from 2022, 2023, and 2024, along with Tampa. So you're talking two teams that are in it now. And then in the years to come, mind you, both teams have some very good young players. So it's not like they're in it just for this year. They're going to be good for at least a handful of years, but they won't be able to make some trades down the line if they need to shore up their, but they're trying to make, Florida's trying to make it like them a destination place now. Okay. Like right now, Tampa is a destination place for players in the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, if they can fit them in there. Florida's trying to be that too. Cause like, hey guys, we're in Florida too. We have nice weather over here too. We're not that far from Tampa.
Not that far from Miami either.
So that's what I mean. They're trying their best. I mean, they have some very good players and they could possibly do it, but so Claude Giroux goes there. I mean, that was the longest of long shots for the Blues to get, in my opinion.
Sure. To me, if the Blues didn't get it, the next best thing is that Colorado didn't get him either.
Yeah, so now is my main thing. It seems like a lot of these deals are going for players going to the East.
Yeah. Fine. Keep them out of the West.
East is loaded up. I mean, outside of, you can say, Minnesota, Colorado, Minnesota, Anaheim deals, that's about, I mean, and Calgary got Yarncroke.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, outside of that, everything's gone to the East.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that for the Blues at this point. You know, they are last couple of trades. Travis Hamonic. There we go. Goes from the Canucks to the Senators for a third round pick. Okay. That's weird.
Sure.
Robert Haig goes from, he was part of the Jack Eichel trade.
Yep.
Was he part of the Jack Eichel trade or where he was? I think he was. But anyway, so he goes from Buffalo to Florida. Florida getting another defenseman, a sixth-round pick. And we talked about Mark Giordano. It says multiple draft picks. I just saw really quickly on Twitter. Sounds like it was a couple of prospects and a second-round pick.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens on the rest of the trade deadline. We got a couple more hours left, but let's focus on what you think the Blues are going to do. So the guys that are left, at least from what I can see on the big trade board on TSN, and it's not too much that's left here. Let's do this. The guys I would like to see basically for the Blues. And the big one is the pair from Philadelphia. It's Provorov and Sanheim. That's my kind of, hey guys, let's key in on this because there ain't much left out there. Chychrun probably isn't going, with him being hurt and being not 100%, I don't really see things happening. I mean, do you think that at this point the Blues are going to do anything?
I'll never say no, because we've seen Armstrong pull off things out of thin air before. But as we just said, you know, a lot of these big targets that the Blues need are gone. I don't see the Blues making a trade just for trade's sake. Because the team is, it's not the team's in a bad place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That and the market right now just seems to be, the price tags on everything are so insane that I don't know if the Blues are willing to mortgage what it's going to take to get some of these guys that are out there. That and the fact that I just don't know who's still out there that really benefits the Blues that much right now.
Yeah, there's really not much. That, I mean, like you said, I've got it narrowed down to three guys that I think the Blues should consider going after.
And I mean, you know, how about this? It certainly seems like there's nobody who's unmovable in Seattle. Do you hit up Seattle and see if we can get Vince Dunn back?
Or Carson Soucy is one of the guys that's been kind of, you know, mentioned quite a bit. So looking at the trade bait board on TSN, right now, number one is off the board, Lindholm. Number two is off the board, Giordano. Number three is off the board, Giroux. So that leaves Jacob Chychrun. Guys that could help the Blues. I guess Nick Paul would be a guy that you could plug in on the fourth line due to Tyler Bozak being hurt now.
Not Sean Paul. Okay.
I was trying to get something quickly to think of a Sean Paul song.
Paul
Wall. Some grills. But no, I was just thinking Sean Paul. But man, I can't sound something without me sounding a really bad reggae voice. So I figured I'd just let it go. So the other guy that right here is Jacob Middleton, who is really cheap cap hit, $750,000, but they don't need to move him.
Right.
San Jose is fine with keeping him. It's one of those things, if they get blown away by a deal, are you going to overpay for this guy who, having a very good season, don't get me wrong, but he was buried in the minor leagues for a really long time and just started making a name for himself this year. Who knows? Right. Defense wise, after that, it's Klingberg. You don't need, that's not what you're looking for.
No.
A couple other guys, Calvin DeHaan from Chicago, he's making 4.5. I mean, Carson Soucy's right after him, making 2.5, and he has a year left.
Yeah.
A guy
I like. Shea Weber's contract is available.
Yeah, it's always available. Tyler Mott is another guy who I think for the fourth line would be great.
Yeah.
But like, once again, it's not going to help your defense, which I think is the main thing. And going down the list, I mean, it's hard to even get remotely close to, you know, guys from Philly. Povarov's number 55 on the list. So more than likely not getting dealt. I mean, plus he's getting almost $7 million a year with 3 years left. So you're going to have to, a couple of guys are going to come off your team, and it's going to be obviously Scandella. And it's easy to pick on him because of the contract. But since he came back in the lineup the last couple of games, ooh, boy, it's been adventurous back there. He's not been great. The one that was bad was the Pittsburgh. Was it the Pittsburgh game where he just like literally passed it up the middle twice?
Yeah.
Turned it over, and you're just like, oh my God. Like, literally almost back-to-back possessions, he did had the same pass get picked off at the blue line. He can't move the puck out of his end. He's having trouble clearing guys from the net. I wouldn't be surprised if the Blues can't move him now. I would not be surprised if they spend the draft, you know, like they did years ago with Yuri Laterra, spend the picks to get rid of him. Sadly enough, that's one he'll look. That's one of the few contracts I look back in the Army was like, he was great when he came over, which stinks, man. He came over out in that Montreal deal and was great.
Yep.
And I was kind of, when he signed him very quickly, even before the season ended, I was a little bit like, hey, man, just let's see how the season finishes out. And he could be playing with the contract year play is a very powerful thing.
Yes, you know, it is.
For
yes,
any player. Is. I mean, I'm not saying just him, it's a thing that happens quite a bit across the board. So not much really left on the trade board for the Blues, at least. No more deals as of we're looking at 312 on Sunday.
Can I give you a dark horse name?
I'll take it.
Super low on the list. Wouldn't be surprised if the Blues did it. His name has been kicked around in years past. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Blues do it just because he's cheap. There's a year left on his deal, and it could just be a shot of adrenaline into the defense. Luke Shen.
Yeah, it wouldn't be surprising. I mean, he's the guy that could, you know, obviously you got Bortuzzo over there, but as your seventh guy, especially if you, depending on how you view Wallman and Mikkola, the other thing too is, who knows if you trade one of those guys in a deal.
Yeah.
Let's say they need a deal for, let's say they actually wind up getting one of the guys I talked about. I mean, they're going to want some young players because both those teams are rebuilding. I mean, yes. Arizona, Philly are rebuilding. If you go out to San Jose, they're rebuilding. They want some young, cheap, you know, guys to fill roles out there. So guys like Wallman, Mikkola, even though Mikkola would probably be the more attractive due to him, probably, you know, the way he's progressed compared to Wallman, I think. But Wallman, really good skater, pretty good shot. And, you know, Mikkola is the other way, where he's big body defender, can block shots. So depending on what the team wants, I guess. So the Blues have a game on Tuesday, I believe. And that'll be their first game after the trade deadline. So you get to the point where it's getting crazy.
And yes.
The Blues are going to have a lot of games coming up.
Yep.
They're at Washington, which is a good team, but they're at Philly, which is obviously a stripped down Philly team. And then they come home for a game against Carolina on Saturday. And after that, you're at home for at least a little bit against some, you have a back-to-back against Vancouver and Edmonton. So teams that are lower in the standings, that seems to be the thing. I don't know I wish I had the stat in front of me. Teams that are like not great, the Blues don't really play well against. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they play up to, you know, the talent seems like they play like Edmonton, or they play like a Colorado.
That's a really close game. That's always been my issue with the Blues, is I feel like they play up and down to the talent that they're playing against.
Which is so weird to me. It's just like, I don't know why they can't do the same. So the Blues at the trade deadline are 34, 18, and 9 for 77 points. And a plus minus, I never realized, is plus 44, which is insane.
Yeah.
You know, so pretty good. I mean, Minnesota's got a game in hand, and they're 1 point behind you. So the potential is you could run it flip-flopping there. Nashville is 76 points as well, but the Blues have a game in hand on them. So you're looking right now, if I had to do a quick wild card thing. So right now, if the playoffs started today, the Blues have home ice against Minnesota, and I like that matchup.
Same.
Minnesota supposedly in on possibly training for Marc-Andre Fleury. It's interesting. If Fleury wants to go there, I don't know. To me, no offense, is even if, say, Fleury got traded to St. Louis for some weird reason, let's say. And we'll talk about the big rumor, too, I had marked down. I forgot. That'll be my last talking point. But Fleury even come to St. Louis, let's say, for some reason. I don't think that if he wants a for sure shot of getting a really good chance for a cup. I mean, they're talking about him going back to Vegas and stuff like that, and I don't think that's really great because they're playing really bad. And guess what? They trade for Jack Eichel, so that's what you guys get. So, Vegas barely hanging on to a playoff spot at this point. They got 3 points on Dallas, but Dallas has 4 games in hand on them.
Right.
So
those 4 games, that's 8 points possibly.
Yeah, so that's a lot of points right there. So, but they won 2 in a row, so who knows. But it's going to be a tight down to the wire here. I think the Blues, if I had to guess right now, the worst you can finish is probably the number. I mean, that'd take quite a bit of a fall. But you're looking at the worst they would face is the number one wild card, which at this point would be Calgary, who's playing very well.
Yeah.
Calgary's played really well this year, so who knows how that would kind of shape up. And if not, the worst they might wind up facing is, if I had to guess, you're either facing Minnesota or Nashville in the first round. I'm guessing this would be a dogfight between these three teams to finish in the top two in the Central.
Yes.
And I like the matchup of both. I think they're both good series. I think it's a winnable series for the Blues. I'm not saying it's like they're going to sweep this team by any means, but I think it's very much I can see them taking it in six. Both of those, as you did say right now, I can see the Blues taking either one of those series in six, maybe 7 games at the most, but I think six, I could easily see it.
But I'm with you with both of those.
if they don't play like the way they can, I can easily see it going the other way too. So
this is also true.
So last big trade rumor before we get out of here is a doozy. Supposedly, according to multiple sources, and it was put out there by Rutherford and Korak as well, that they said that they heard it, but they just basically speculated on why he's doing it. Apparently, with all the goaltending issues around the league, and you know, Marc-Andre Fleury might not want to move, Toronto really wanted a goalie. Apparently, Jordan Binnington's name has been floated out there by Doug Armstrong. Mind you, we've talked about this before. Doug Armstrong does not let stuff get out. Is it potential that it's like trying to spark Jordan Binnington, that got stuff getting out there? Or is he actually shopping him? So he's in the first year of a six-year deal at $6 million per with a note, mind you, full no trade clause as well. So he can control where he goes. So it's not like we can say, like some of the Blue Jays and the Lounge saying, let's dump him to Arizona. They need a goalie and they got the cap room. We can trade him for just a draft pick. Well, he can say no. He doesn't want to go to, I mean, he not want to go to Arizona and, you know, play in front of 4,000 people in a college arena next year.
Yeah, boy, you know, I hadn't heard that. I can't say I'm completely surprised. What worries me is, as fragile as we know the mindscapes of hockey, goalies are, I could see this breaking one of two ways. It either motivates and refocuses Binnington, or it completely shatters him, one of the two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. And here's the thing. I'm not convinced really Husso is the answer either. Like,
I think he's played well this year. I'll give him that. But remember last year.
But I don't know if I want to hitch my train to him long term.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, I don't know, man. I think that there's definitely something that needs to be done. I think that we all thought that Binnington would have pulled out of this by now. He has not. He's looked better his last few games. But it sure seems like when he's in, the losses pile up.
Yeah, it seems like not, you know, he had the shutout against Chicago, and we always thought that was kind of like the Blues turning the corner and him turning the corner. And he had a couple okay games after that. Nothing, I think he's made some good saves in there, and then but he's had some games where just, and part of me is thinking, like, if you get a player, and it's funny that we all, like, I find it hilarious that years later now we're talking, like, I wish we had a player like Jay Bouwmeester. Or how many years that people were loathing that guy and trying to trade him and whatever. And ever since the cup now, everybody's like, I wish we had a player like Jay Bouwmeester. But that's the guy you want, a defensive defenseman who stays at home, can skate, rangy, can, you know, block shots, put on the penalty kill. And that's the player the Blues need to complete this defense. And it would take the pressure off of everybody else. That's why I thought Lindholm was kind of the guy to do that. He was the guy who did everything. We talked about this before, does everything great, but not like all-star level. So he's a really good defenseman, but there's not one thing that sticks out about him. That's, you know, like, he's not an offensive defenseman, but he's not a defensive defenseman, but he can chip in on power play, but he can't play penalty kill. He's an excellent passer. You know, he can defend well. He can kind of clear front of the net. He can do a little bit of everything. And that's why I thought he'd be really great addition, but the cost was obviously very high, and Doug Armstrong didn't want to do that. And I think, who knows where the contract wanted to go? I bet you the term would have possibly scared Armstrong off, because, you know, he likes to stretch out the contracts, but having four guys back there making 6.5 for the next, you know, better half of a decade, basically, might not be exactly what he wanted. 28 years old too. I think you're going to pay that. You look at a guy like Provorov or Sanheim making under 5 and Provorov making 6.7. That's the two guys I look at, and they're in their mid-20s, so you get a couple years built into that too. So, I think those guys are the way to go. But if you're looking short-term, Middleton is where I would think that would be my thing. If you can get Middleton for a decent pick, I think that would be the guy to at least help out this year and see what you need to do in the offseason.
I don't disagree with that assessment at all. I don't think that this team – is in the dire straits that needs to have a trade. I think that they could be shaken up and remolded just as easily with the pieces they have, as opposed to bringing something in from the outside.
Yeah, I'd be kind of curious to see what Doug Armstrong has up his sleeve, because we've seen trades out of left field before with Doug Armstrong. So it's one of those things where if he doesn't feel like this team is, you know, going to go somewhere, he won't make a trade.
Yeah.
And I think if he sees this team, and then I bet you watching this team over the last handful of games, I wouldn't be surprised if that's his assessment. He's like, if I can get a guy for a decent cost, I'll go for it. But if not, I went into the offseason because there's no point to go all in, because I don't think this team is going to beat guys like Colorado or Calgary. And honestly, nothing against anybody else in the league, but those are the two teams in the West I would be worried about. After that, there's nobody else I really kind of think the Blues can't take. And the Colorados and the Calgaries, I mean, the Blues, I think, have a shot, but I don't think they'd win a series out of that right now.
Yes.
The way they play.
Yes.
The East is stacked. The East, you might kind of hope that the East kind of, in the past, remember everybody was always talking about how the Central would just beat the crap out of each other. Then whoever comes out of Central, you pretty much beat. So
yep.
I kind of think that's what's going to happen out in the East this year with, you know, the way Florida, Tampa, all those teams are, Washington, all those teams are playing right now. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to say the least. So we'll see what the Blues do. We got, like I said, about 23 hours left. So we'll kind of wrap it up there and we'll see what the Blues can do going forward. I don't think my final prediction is you will see a trade. It will not be a big trade.
Yeah, I mean, you probably will. It's probably going to be small. When I say, oh, you're going to see a trade, I tend to lean like, oh, is there going to be a big one? And like we said, like, I just don't know who's out there that helps this team that doesn't make you have to give everything away in order to get. So
yeah.
I'll never say never. Armstrong has pulled some doozies off without, you know, anyone knowing before, but I'm prepared for there to be little things, but nothing big tomorrow.
Yeah. So we'll see around the league what kind of happens. It seems like it happens in a flurry of trades. It seems that yesterday was like, you're checking the phone and somebody was getting traded yesterday. And then today, Giordano moves. Who knows who else will move? And then obviously tomorrow between 12 and 2, I think you'll see a flurry of action. So we'll see what happens. The Blues, I would be surprised if they do something for the fourth line as well. Torpachenko's right. Playing well. But I think the other side, nothing against McEachern and with Bozak out, and Sundqvist obviously not 100%. You need something to help out that back there, especially if Bozak hurt for another 3 weeks. So we'll wrap it up there. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's at Blues Hockey NHL. Chris is at?
At Hossapalooza.
And then if you want to find us on Facebook and Instagram, it's Blues Hockey Podcast. Go and like us on either one of those and start following us there. If you get a hold of us through our website, it's blueshockeypodcast.net or .com. You can find all the links for all the stuff I just said there, plus our email. On top of that, you can find out where to download the podcast, which is Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Pocket Cast, and all the different casts that are out there. So, and we'll get into our sponsors real quick. For first off being DraftKings. So DraftKings, use the code THPN today for the Hockey Podcast Network. That's what it stands for. And you get special sign-up bonuses when you put that in. You have NCAA going on and a bunch of different upsets going on right now.
Indeed.
So go ahead and get that in. The Sweet 16 is almost finalized, it looks like, after today. And then you'll start, you know, that's getting going. You got Blues playoffs. And guess what? Baseball is back. So Cardinals aren't going to do much, but they won't sign anybody either. So we'll see what happens there. So sign up on DraftKings today. Use the code THPN. Secondly, Chris's favorite is Lucky Lola's and the Salmon Rub. So go ahead and go get you some Salmon Rub at Fresh Time and Kenrick's. So go ahead and get you that along with some Lucky Lola's Jalapeno Sweet Heat, and check out the Bratwurst at both of those fine establishments. Last but not least, our friend, we were there last night, Rockstar Tacos at the Gaslight Lounge, 4916 Shaw Avenue, opened Tuesday through Saturday. Go ahead. A full menu is available, open 5 to 10 those days. So go ahead and check that out today. They're in for dine-in or carry-out now. So go ahead and check that out today at Rockstar Tacos at Gaslight. So, and I think that is about it. I mean, Chris got some stuff going on tonight, so we'll go ahead and get to that. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see what the Blues do. We'll do another show later this week to wrap all that good stuff up, hopefully trades and some wins on top of that. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later.